Sam, over the past 4 or 5 years, emerging markets have really underperformed. So I'm seeing a lot of rhetoric, if you will, or information out there on the internet and the news sites about maybe increasing your allocation to emerging markets for 2015 and 2016. What are your thoughts and input on that?
Well, emerging markets had done so well leading up to the bear market of 2007 through 2009, and investors were just used to getting those double-digit kind of gains. Also, when you look at it from a demographic perspective, you have a greater number of young people just entering the workforce in the emerging markets, which therefore has greater potential for optimism in terms of their economic growth. When you look to overall earnings expectations for the coming years, actually things look pretty good. Just looking at a consensus of earnings expectations, more than 12% growth is expected this year as compared with less than 1% for the S&P 500. Emerging markets are also expected to see earnings growth of about 14% next year, again higher than what is anticipated for the U.S. Looking at things on a PE basis, on a valuations basis, emerging markets are substantially cheaper than U.S. markets. Right now, the U.S. is trading at about 18 times 2015 estimates, whereas the emerging markets are trading at 13 times. For next year, U.S. is trading at about 16 times 2016 estimates. Emerging markets are trading at closer to 11 times. So for investors who have a longer-term time horizon, our belief is that these areas offer better EPS growth and more attractive valuations than we find in many of the U.S. marketplaces.
What I'm hearing you say is maybe that you have different buckets of money. You've got some short-term money, you've got some mid-term money, and some long-term money. And maybe the long-term money is the equity market, maybe the mid-term money is the bond market, and maybe the short-term money is a money market savings account.
Well, you're absolutely right. And who says I'm going to be correct in my forecasts? So you do want to diversify just in case that what I'm forecasting does not come true. But you're bringing up a very important part of asset allocation is match your maturities to your time frames. When do you need this money? You certainly don't want to invest in the stock market if you're going to need it to pay the rent at the end of the month, or if you're going to need it to make a purchase of a new car a year from now, et cetera. I would say when dealing with stocks in general, your time horizon should probably be, 2 to 3 years or longer, meaning I'm not going to need this money for at least 3 years. The reason is that the average bear market takes about 17 months for it to materialize, meaning we don't go back into a new bull market until after 17 months on average. Then it takes us about a year to get back to break even following that 17-month bear market. So adding the amount of time it takes to decline and then the amount of time it takes to get back to break even, you know, that's a good 2.5 to 3 year time frame. So you're right. If you have 3 years plus, then you put some of that money into equities, and then you diversify globally. And then if you have commitments that are between, let's say, 1 year and the 3 year time frame, then, yeah, you probably do want to look to bonds. And in this kind of an environment, probably shorter maturity bonds, which will be hit less dramatically than longer rate bonds when rates do eventually start to rise. And then for those commitments that are within 1 year, that's a good reason to have cash or short-term maturing instruments.
Sam, the other thing I want to talk about for a brief moment here is gold. I have a ton of clients who just bought gold like crazy. I mean, heck, for a while here in Houston, there were guys standing on the street corner trying to tap on the window of your car to get you to go sell your gold watch or your gold ring at a stoplight. I mean, where do you see the price of gold and silver heading?
Well, I think that's an indication. If it comes down to somebody trying to sell you something when it's red light, then that should have been a red light for an investor, or at least a yellow light. When we saw the vending machines in airports in Europe selling 1 ounce bars of gold, I think that too should have been a signal that, you know what, maybe these prices are not sustainable. Gold is always good to have as an inflation hedge, a hedge against uncertainty, etc. If it just makes you sleep better at night, that's a good thing to have. when I look at the technicals, when I look at the chart patterns, I basically see gold in a trading range between the 1150 area, closer to where it is today, up to about the 1250 area. And really, it's in just that zone. It's going to continue to move into that zone until it's given a reason to move out of it. Typically, higher interest rates are not good for gold prices because higher interest rates tend to slow economic growth and therefore slow the rate of inflation. Since gold is typically an inflation hedge, well, higher interest rates are taking care of inflation for you. So as a result, what happens is more pressure tends to be put on gold prices. So my feeling is, unless you are looking at some sort of a technical pattern that might indicate that gold is ready to pop, I would not be a big buyer of gold today.